and welcome into the Who's On podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network. It is a bye week for the Virginia football team coming up, but they are coming off back-to-back overtime thrillers, I guess you could say. UVA winning at Louisville 30-27 in overtime. First time program history that they've won back-to-back overtime games. A weird game down at Louisville, but I've got a great guest here today, ESPN's David Hale, the other co-host of Inside Access on ACC Network. We talked to Andrea earlier this year. Now we get the other half. And David, thanks for coming
Andrea's
on.
Andrea's the host. I'm the co-host.
Is that how y'all delineate?
I think so, yes. She's in charge. Whatever the answer is, she's in charge.
That sounds about right. Well, David, I got to start with, I realized right before I had you on, you were in Chapel Hill this past weekend, and I've had several people on, just coincidentally, not planned, that have come from Chapel Hill and come on the podcast. So your reactions, your thoughts to what you saw between UNC and Clemson.
Yeah, that's like getting out of like watching like The Purge and being like, what did you think about that movie? Pretty upbeat, right? No, it's pretty bleak there, man. That team is terrible. It is, yeah, look, there is a lack of talent there that is probably inevitable in a world that we're living in with the portal and rev share and everything that it is right now, though. I think there's a lot of revisionist history and goalpost moving in the way that Belichick and his team are describing that. But I've seen far less talented teams play with some level of competency. That's on the coaching staff. And the lack of accountability there is pretty mind-boggling. And the fact that, you know, this is a coaching staff that came in, led by Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi, saying, we got it all figured out. We know we're going to do it the NFL way. We're going to really turn things around here. They've turned them around from being a competitive team into the laughingstock of the ACC, which with Boston College here is hard to do, but still, it's not good. And, the flip side, Clemson looked competent, which is good for them, but I didn't actually come away feeling like, no, Clemson showed me a whole lot that, you know, anyone couldn't have shown in that scenario. So I know it was a bleak Saturday there. I'll put it that way.
Did you happen to wake up early enough to catch Ludacris's AM morning?
Luda was all right. That was the one upside. It was all downhill after Luda. I should have cracked into the Cavassier a little earlier, and it would have made the rest of the day slightly more tolerable. But Luda put on a show. I'll give him that.
It's just that was kind of the statement for me of like you booked Ludacris, but he's got to perform like for the Breakfast Club because of just how not only UNC season's gone, but Clemson's as well. The competency question is probably the biggest surprise there. I thought maybe they have a little bit of talent. I wasn't crazy about their transfer portal class, but yeah, some of the competency questions that you see there. I mean, you know, Clemson's first play of the game, I think right there kind of shared it all. But let's get to a little bit of a brighter note. Virginia now 5-1 on the season. It's their best start since 2017, tied for the most wins under Tony Elliott, 3-0 in ACC play for the first time since 2007, up to number 19 in the AP poll. I guess we kind of start things off here on this show usually with one big take on Virginia's season so far. What would that takeaway be for you?
This is probably like a cop-out, non-interesting answer. Like, I thought Virginia was going to be pretty good coming into this year because there was a lot they had going for it. A quarterback who knows what he's doing, a veteran with some real energy and a desire to win. A offensive line that was coherent probably for the first time really under Tony Elliott, though they've been banged up and have managed to plow through anyway. A much better running game. The defense is fine. There's probably some weak spots there, but the schedule is very accommodating. Like, a lot of it's set up, you know, I don't like throwing around the like this year's Indiana conversation, though it's probably fitting. What I have been most impressed by is the resiliency and mentality of this team, because it is a program that has not won a lot in quite some time. And also, as I think Florida State showed last year, you can go and get talented guys in the portal, but it doesn't mean it meshes, and it doesn't mean those guys are bought in and invested. For all the conversation after the Florida State game about how Florida State kept getting off the mat and coming back, I almost said, like, I felt like the bigger deal was Virginia doing it, because a team that is the underdog going up big and then blowing that lead often is, oh, okay, well, see, we never belonged in the first place, and they roll over. Virginia didn't do that. And then to do the same thing basically a week later against Louisville, when your offense and your quarterback that has been the sort of lifeblood of the team is not really going well, and to still win that game, to me, and coming off of such an emotional win against Florida State, like, that's all kinds of things that only winning teams, like, you have to learn how to do those things. You have to learn how to handle success the same as you learn how to overcome failure. That Virginia was able to do all of that in a 2-week stretch, to me, speaks incredibly highly of the coaching staff, incredibly highly of the personality and determination on that team. Are they the most talented team in the ACC? No, they're not. There are still some obvious weak spots on that roster that certainly could get exploited as we get further into the year. And as bad as Virginia Tech is, like, I know what the history is there, and I'm not counting that as a W until it's over. But there's just so much to like about this team because they fight. And, again, like, look at North Carolina. That's an untalented team that doesn't fight either. This is a team that is, I mean, I'm sure Tony Elliott would be the first to tell you they weren't the more talented team probably in either of these last two games, but they're going to make it unpleasant for you to beat them.
Yeah, you kind of hit on my point here that I was going to make with the take. I've said it so many times this season already. Like Virginia in years past, and this is year 10 for me covering this team, but I grew up watching this team as well. They would not have won games like that. They would have there would have been something that would have gone wrong, and many things did go wrong against Louisville, and they would not have been able to win that game in overtime. And I thought the same thing last week against Florida State. I thought the same thing, early in the season, against Coastal Carolina even. Like they didn't traditionally just blow away teams that they were far better than. They let
Yeah.
them play games against them. And so that's the biggest thing that I've seen this year is that, there's a real difference with this team. And I'm glad you brought up, the Florida State example because, they brought in a lot of talent through the transfer portal, and but it seems like it's the right fits. And that's hard to do
Yeah.
on a year-by-year basis, but it's working this year.
It was funny. I was talking to at the Florida State game, I was talking to Chad Morris about this, that you can bring in a bunch of guys from the portal, and maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. And it's hard to sort of say, like, here's the formula for acclimating with all these guys. Because, again, I used last year's Florida State as an example. Well, the 3 years prior to that, Mike Norvell was like the portal whisperer. He was great at it. But one of the things that I think has sort of gone under the radar is how Tony Elliott has set a idea of what he wanted this culture to be. Brought people in on his coaching staff that were on board and that he believed in, and has kept those guys even through struggles. Like, there was pressure on Tony to make changes, and there was probably pressure on those guys to say, like, let me get while the getting's good somewhere else. And they haven't. They've stuck together. And so I think, I don't want to say it was an easy transition to bring in a bunch of transfers. Part of that is identifying the right guys and those guys having the right mentality. But the consistency on the coaching staff, I think, has allowed some of this to go smoother than it might have otherwise gone.
Is there anything else? I just got, looking back on this one, and I use the pun afterwards in my column, but just, when the cards are against you, because there was a lot of things that, weren't going right for Virginia in this game. Chandler Morris, wasn't on it, and it seemed like the offense never got into a rhythm. I mean, they only had one possession in the entire first quarter of this game, so like they didn't get to kind of like build into the game like they normally do. Only 237 yards of total offense. That's the fewest since last year against SMU. There's some weird. Really weird defensive touchdowns in this one. Louisville, had a pitch that, got dropped, and Donovan Platt just kind of falls right to him and picks it up for a touchdown. And then, the really weird one is Miller Moss, about to get sacked by two different guys, and he's like maybe an inch away from the ground. And, some people say the wrist was on the ground and, whatever else, but he throws an interception to Cam Robinson that really, I mean, turned that game in Virginia's favor. I know, Louisville came back, but it kind of was like the winning when it's ugly. And they didn't have the 500 total yards of offense and all the different tools and weapons that Chandler Morris has at his disposal going off in this game. It just kind of was, all right, well, what can we scrap together to kind of put this game away?
Yeah, look, every team needs a little luck along the way to have a great season, whether it's injury luck or the bounce of the ball. But as many coaches will tell you, luck is preparation meets opportunity. And the fact that Virginia has been very prepared to maximize the opportunities that they have and have seen the opportunities and taken advantage of them when they've come along. I mean, yes, some of that stuff is luck. An inch off the ground is some luck. But also, there's to your point, like plenty of Virginia games in the past where inch off the ground or 10 feet off the ground, Cameron isn't coming up with that ball and getting a score out of it. So, it is maximizing the opportunities in addition to just having the opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Real quick on this game and then we'll move on, but our who's on player of the game, everyone voted on Twitter. Cam Robinson, team high 10 tackles, second on the team in tackles already this season despite he's only played 3 games. Interception return for a touchdown, his second career touchdown. The first ironically coming at Louisville back in 2023. David, you were able to see him play in person in that Florida State game. What have you made of Cam Robinson as far as what kind of difference he makes for this defense that has had its issues this year, but it seems like it's much better when he's just on the field?
Yeah, and I mean I think you've got a defense at Virginia that, the coaching staff has done a good job of kind of making the sum greater than the individual parts on that defense. Cam is the individual part there that is better than all of the other individual parts. He's got NFL talent. He is a dude. And Virginia's had a few of those guys over the last few years. Jonas Sanker is probably one that comes to mind, but Cam is a guy who just being on the field, the opposing team has to account for that. I think you can scheme your way into wins, particularly if your offense is moving the ball well too, by just having a competent, smart defense, which you expect from a place like Virginia. And again, the coaching staff has done a really good job of maximizing what they have. But Cam's the guy that's just he's built different than everybody else. And I think that having him on the field gives you an opportunity as a defense to be less reactive and start dictating a little bit more. And that's not everybody gets one of those guys. So he is an incredibly valuable asset. Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time amongst media members, but go back to that NC State game and put Cam Robinson in a couple of those different situations. Maybe you have a different outcome, maybe not, because there are a lot of gaps that day on the defensive side of the football. But he's definitely made an impact since he came back. All right, it's somehow the mid-season point. I mean, for Virginia, they played 6 games. I know most other teams are around 5 games, but somehow we've reached the mid-season here, David. I don't know if the season's flying by for you. I mean, you're all over the place, but what looks different about this Virginia team? We talked about the transfer portal, but I'm not convinced it's just the transfer portal. What else is going on here with this Cavalier team?
I think there's a couple of things. One, you're not asking anybody to play hero ball. I mean, there was way too many moments in the last few years where you've kind of found that one guy or the guy that was thrown into that spotlight, in like a case of like an Anthony Calandria that was like, man, just go out and do something and hopefully it works, basically. Because there was never a second gear you could shift into. Well, they've got that this year. I mean, again, you saw they won a game with their defense last week. They won a game against Florida State because in large part because Chandler Morris could run the ball around. They've won games with Chandler Morris's arm. Like there's the ground game, I would argue that, I mean, there's a handful of good stories in the ACC this year. Jamar Taylor's got to be at the top of that list. Like he has been so much fun to have as a part of this team and runs hard and plays with a level of like aggressiveness and chip on his shoulder and all of that stuff people like to say in this business. So to me, my biggest takeaway is that there's not one takeaway that you could point to. Like in any given game, you could probably point to a half dozen things and say, like, Virginia's doing this pretty well. And it doesn't have to be the same thing every week. There were just too many times over the last few years, as Tony Elliott has tried to build the framework of all of this, where they're just, you knew what Virginia wanted to do, you schemed to stop that, and there wasn't another option for them because they just didn't have the depth of talent. So, yes, the portal matters. Getting the right guys matters. Keeping the coaching staff that they've had has mattered. Getting the administration to buy in and allow them to go into the portal and get these guys has mattered. So it's a conglomeration of a lot of things. And I think all of that stuff sort of eventually lands on the desk of Tony Elliott, who has done, I think, despite a lot of reasonable criticism, done his best to say, here's our plan, and we're sticking to it, and we're gonna get there, and I'm gonna get everybody to buy in, even if it doesn't all look exactly how we want it to look in the end right now. That's a hard job to do. And so credit to Carla Williams, credit to Tony Elliott to have a vision and stick to it and make it come to fruition.
I'm glad you bring up this kind of institutional part of it because I don't remember very a lot of cases throughout college football where, Virginia kind of reinvents how they do things in year four of a coach. Normally, that's something you do, when you're getting ready to hire a new coach or after you hire a new coach, like we're seeing with, Virginia Tech right now as they're preparing to hire someone else. But they kind of on the fly under Tony Elliott, we talked about this earlier in the year with Andrea, just, Carla Williams is a little bit slower to, kind of evaluate the landscape of college athletics before jumping in with, what they did in the transfer portal, kind of their management of it with the GM system now and kind of this pro model that they're trying to incorporate into athletics as a whole. But it's weird to, 11 wins in 3 years under Tony Elliott, and then all of a sudden you completely turn everything and how you do it going into a fourth season.
Yeah, and look, there's a little bit. So I mean, I spent a lot of time with Bronco Mendenhall, who I like and respect a whole lot, and he banged his head against that wall for a long time with a lot of frustration because there wasn't the investment that he knew that they needed. I think when Tony took the job, it was with some assurances that like we'll get there, but saying we want to get there and actually being able to do it are different things too. And I know I have not had these conversations at Virginia because Carla does play her cards a little closer to the vest than a lot of ADs. But I've talked to folks, John Curry at Wake Forest or Bubba Cunningham at Carolina, that, they're academic schools. They profile very similar to Virginia in a lot of ways. They have a very proud alumni base who cares about athletics, but cares about broad-based athletics and value the degree. And so there, I think when you're talking to donors for a long time and at the advent of this NIL era, you got a lot of like, why am I giving you more money to give these players? They're getting a Virginia degree. They're getting a Wake Forest degree or a Carolina degree. That means something. We shouldn't have to pay them to come here. They should be excited to be a part of Wake Forest, Virginia, Carolina, whatever it is. It's just not reality, right? Like you're just not living in reality of what college football is today. And that is not a knock on a Virginia education. I could not get into school there. And if they, for some reason, accidentally let me in, I would have failed out in a semester. So I am not knocking it. I'm just saying that the reality of college football is everybody else is paying money. You gotta do that to keep up. Well, the rev share era allowed Virginia to sort of circumvent a little bit of that booster withholding a little bit. And Wake Forest is doing the same thing. Jake Dickens is doing a really nice job with Wake Forest down there, by the way. Of it was really hard for us to be begging these donors to donate money to NIL collectives, but asking them to give money to the university and to the athletics department, and then the athletics department can give the money to the players if it so chooses, that's a different conversation. And so I think a little bit of it is just the timing was right to do it when they did it. So that was a long answer to get to. I think you're right that they were slower. I think some of that slowness had to do with just the ecosystem that Virginia lives in, which is in any other realm a good thing. But college football just happens to be the one area where, as an economic system, it's completely, utterly stupid. And so you gotta work with the rules that you're given.
No, it's a completely different universe, and I know that it hasn't always been almost never clashed with it's always clashed with what Virginia kind of sets itself up to represent everything, the academic portion of it and everything. I mean, when's the last time you were really talking to a player about, oh, what are you studying? Stuff like that. I'm like,
I was
I don't
talking to
need to
someone
talk
about this
about
the
that
other day. Do
stories
you, do you
anymore.
remember? Do you remember when like players used to be like suspended for a bowl game because they didn't make grades? Like, when's the last time that happened? Like, remember when players used to get suspended for weed? Like, when was the last time that happened? Like, we live in a different world now.
I know, like, there's certificate programs now where they can, count that as, being an athlete, and that's kind of all that needs to be said on that front. But it's just interesting kind of how Virginia has kind of turned itself around. And I mean, I guess the next question is it sustainable going past this year? I know everyone's focused on the present though, and just kind of finishing out this season because you kind of need the proof of concept. You could do all the changes and invest all the NIL money, the revenue sharing money, but you got to go out there and kind of have the results. And so far, they're having the results that they need to kind of show that proof of concept.
Yeah, and look, again, there's a long way to go, so you don't want to count any chickens before they're hatched. But you're right. I was not one of the ones who was like Tony Elliott's on the hot seat. I didn't, because just because I know how things work at Virginia, I thought that he just needed to show a little improvement this year to make a bowl. I think he's going to be okay. Well, they're in position to do much better than that, and that sort of doubles back as you talk about what is the sustainability of it to what I was talking about before. Well, now you've got proof of concept, and you can go to those donors and say, "Didn't you have fun this year? Isn't it fun seeing this team win? We just need you to give a little bit more, and we can keep doing this." It's harder to expect them to do something different, to open up their wallet for something they're not comfortable opening up their wallet for when they haven't even seen the results of it yet. It's just your pitch meeting that you're in. This is, look, we did it. You were out. Your kids just ran onto the field after we beat Florida State. We used some of your money to go pay for the fine we had to pay to the ACC. Like those things matter. And so like it is one of my most hated sports buzzwords is momentum. I don't believe in it in the actual field of play, but I think in terms of like the energy around a program, that stuff starts to build and people get a taste of it and they want more. And so they're willing to do more to be able to keep doing it. So I think all of that matters. Now, look, I think we're still very much in a gray area, this weird purgatory in college football where, I mean, you're seeing it around the country. Like there's
Sure.
the I was very skeptical that any of this was going to do anything except for further empower the people who are already powerful. But thus far, most of the evidence, both anecdotal and what has actually been studied, and I've seen a few of these studies that have come out over the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months, would suggest that there's more competitiveness. There's more of a level competitiveness in football now. Now, does that mean Alabama doesn't like figure out like, well, this is why it wasn't quite working. We'll just do this now. And then they start beating the doors off of everybody again. That could happen. But there's a window now. We're in a transformational era, and Virginia is in the spot right now to best take advantage of it.
It's probably not the best week to talk about the Virginia offense coming off that last game, but I think you were there against Florida State to see kind of what this offense can do, and the numbers kind of bear out. They're, I think, number two nationally in total yards and total points because they played six games, but they also put up a lot of yards and a lot of points. What is kind of stuck out to you about? I mean, you mentioned the hot seat earlier. I think if anyone was on the hot seat coming into the season, it was Des Kitching, the offensive
Yeah.
coordinator, because of the results. And I mean, this goes back to, I think, Virginia fans and the pressure put upon him coming off that 2021 season where, Virginia put up a lot of yards. They put up points. It was exciting football to watch. I mean, I think if you go back and look at the record, it was they were 6-6, and it wasn't, all that,
Yeah.
I call it, high calorie, kind of yards and points and everything. But and then the next year, that kind of all falls away, and the offense has kind of been a question mark since then. But this year, it looks, pretty sustainable what they're doing out there. You mentioned Jamari Taylor earlier. He leads the ACC with 8 rushing touchdowns. Chandler Morris has been, as Des Kitching's told me before the season, the perfect fit at quarterback for them.
Yeah.
What stands out about this offense for Virginia?
And Trell Harris too has been a revelation. I mean, they got a lot of guys who are making things happen and look fun. And I will say, yeah, I mean, Des Kitching certainly deserves some credit on this because he's shouldered a lot of the blame. Chandler Morris to me, like I've known him for a while and I've known his dad, of course, for even longer than that. It's funny because you go back to that introductory press conference that he had. He said, "I came here to win championships," and everybody kind of laughed. Well, whether or not they're going to win a championship, I felt like that was the attitude that you needed to have. I mean, I was at the top of the list of people making fun of Tommy Castellanos for saying they were going to beat Bama. But the more I thought about it, I was like, I mean, if you lose, you were probably going to lose anyway. What Florida State desperately needed was somebody to remind them that the goal was to win. I think Virginia kind of needed somebody to remind them the goal is to win, man. Let's think big here. And Chandler kind of reminds me a little of Haynes King down at Georgia Tech, where like so much of the offense flows through him, and you're going to have to take a little of the bad with the good, but the goods are so good, and it forces other teams to be to account for so much because of what he can do that it opens the door to everybody else. And I will go back and if we get to the end of the year, Virginia is in position to play for an ACC championship. I will go back to the drive where he, bangs his hand on the offensive lineman's helmet, so he's banged up. And they go back out there that next drive. They're on a 12-play drive, and with seven of their top 10 O linemen banged up or out, run 11 run plays in a 12-play drive and score a touchdown, just ran it down Florida State's throat. Like, to me, if you want to say this is a different Virginia team, that is the drive that goes to show you how much different this team is than it has been in the past. And yeah, there's a lot of people responsible for all of that. But to me, I think a lot of it just comes back to having Chandler Morris there forces everybody else to look, every defense to look at you differently, and allows everybody else around him to play better.
That's a drive that I've already talked about in great detail because it's going to live in Virginia lore. Just be what they were able to do that, 10 straight run plays against the teeth of this Florida State defense. You mentioned Jamari Taylor earlier, and I kind of want to talk a little bit more about him because such an interesting guy. I mean, we've loved him in the media because he is just so personable and like jovial as a personality, but also just the way he runs the football. I mean, this is a Virginia program that has been talking about we want to run the football for a while now, and we have not seen it until this season.
Yeah.
And I think Taylor has a big part in that.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it's a little bit of like his backstory, right? Like, I mean, this guy was never supposed to be anything, and then even when he started to be kind of something, it was still, not at this level. I mean, he's had to fight and scrape and claw for everything that he's accomplished in his career. And so you see that in his running style. It's funny to me because I, when this that story came out over the offseason with NC Central's coach complaining about Virginia Tech tampering to get him, and him saying that what did he say? Something, I'm rooting for Virginia to win all their games and for Virginia Tech to lose all their games. And I'm like, I might have like a monkey's paw or a voodoo doll or something, because that's basically what's happened. Jamari's been tremendous. Virginia's running away with things, and Virginia Tech over there. I'm sure all of your listeners are very sad to see you struggling along.
Yeah, we've talked about Virginia Tech a few times on here. And yeah, I want to get to, just looking ahead here because, this week we see the ESPN analytics, we see some of the numbers coming out in the football power index and stuff. I don't know what the updated analytics are. This is what they said on Saturday, that UVA was up to a 52% chance to reach the ACC title game. It looks like, just kind of the base where the standings are right now. Miami, of course, I think is one of the best teams in the country. Georgia Tech 2-0, Duke 3-0, Virginia 3-0 now. Is it okay, I guess, for Virginia fans to start talking about the ACC title game and the
Yeah.
college football playoff?
It probably depends on your, I grew up a baseball fan. That was sort of the world I came up in sports. And I know you're not supposed to talk about a no-hitter during the no-hitter. So I am not going to tell you to go ahead and start talking about it and then be responsible for what happens after that. That is not my, I'm not looking for that heat. But look, I mean, this is, again, you look at the schedule, and I don't like to build too much around that, but you look at the schedule, and it's certainly not a lot of games where Virginia is going to be clearly the less talented team. In fact, might not be any. And you look at the way that this team is playing, and again, I think the Louisville game shows such tells such a story about like coming off of such an emotional game and having sort of one hand tied behind your back because the offense isn't moving the ball well, and you come out and you still win that game. Like it, I think it's okay to start thinking bigger things for this team. And yeah, you look at that. I was looking through some of the advanced analytic numbers, and you buy into them for what you will. But there's probably a what at this point a little better than a 1 in 4 chance that they make the ACC championship game, and probably a little better than a 1 in 10 chance that they make the playoff. And even those feel kind of low if you keep putting stacking wins against each other. So I'm sure Tony Elliott will tell you don't think a thing until next game. The next game is all that matters. And that's the way they should be thinking about it. But if you're a Virginia fan, man, like these sometimes seasons like this, they don't come along very often. Like, don't spend your whole season scared about what's going to come next, waiting for the other shoe to drop. This is a fun team, and like, be along for the ride, man. It's fun.
I am right there with you. I'm not, I've been a gentle adopter of analytics. I'm kind of half old school, half new school. I try to, play the, right in the middle there. But, so you could take the analytics for what they are. I don't think you need to hold on to them too tightly. Some people are just vehemently against them, and that's fine if that's kind of what you want to stand at. But like, it's something that to talk about. I mean, I think even, looking at, they're 5-1 and they need one more win to get to a bowl game. I don't think that's something that anyone should overlook either. Now, even looking past to, hope, dreams of 10, 11 win season and so much more. I think there's a lot to be excited about right now. And the one thing that gets kind of caught up a little bit is you look at the remaining strength of schedule, and that's another number that you can take or leave it. But Virginia has one of the easier path among the Power Four teams the rest of the way. But I want to put this to you because toughest games remaining for UVA in my mind, at Cal, at Duke, and home against Virginia Tech, because it has to be. It doesn't matter what that Virginia Tech team looks like. I had Andrea rate them earlier in the year. Obviously, Florida State and Louisville were by far the top two early in the season. Somehow they made it past those two without a loss. So I'll put it to you, of those three games right there, which is the toughest to you?
Going out to Cal is difficult just because of the geography of it. And Cal's sneaky, okay. They got a nice young quarterback, but I think Virginia can win that game. They certainly should beat Virginia Tech, whether they will or not. But also, this is one of those times too where I think getting Virginia Tech the last week of the year, like how much is left in the tank for that team at that point? To me, Duke is, and I was talking about this on TV with Andrea last week. If you take every team in the ACC and say they're going to play the best version of themselves this week, I'm taking Miami as the best. I could be talked into saying Duke's the second best. Now, I think the range of possible outcomes with Duke is much higher. And I was joking during their game out at Cal late night that that's like a perfect Pac-12 after dark team when they're playing at like 10:30 kickoff and like anything can happen with Duke. But one thing that is problematic about that matchup for Virginia is like Duke's going to chuck the ball around and they've got a bunch of receivers and they're going to really look to exploit probably the one biggest red flag area I see with Virginia right now. So it's a tough matchup. I think Duke's a very good team, a well-coached team as well. Again, I don't think Duke is more talented than Virginia. Just as matchups go, I think that's probably the toughest one of the three.
That's the one I would circle too, with a little acknowledgement to whatever weird voodoo is going on in this in the Commonwealth with between Virginia Tech and Virginia, especially with interim coaches. We saw that just a couple of years ago, and Bronco Mendenhall's last game at Virginia against J.C. Price and the Hokies. But yeah, that Duke team, I watched until it was about 28-21, then it was past my bedtime, so I went to bed. Didn't quite make it through the Pac-12 after dark. But yeah, I mean, Darian Mensah is a great quarterback in the ACC. They have a good defense. And I don't think anyone's going to debate you that the secondary is probably the biggest red flag for Virginia so far through this season. So I would probably go that, yeah, Duke, Virginia Tech, and then at Cal. Always got to worry about the travel a little bit. But I guess I'll put it to you here just to wrap up. I mean, what would your. We said before the season, 8-4 was my prediction for Virginia. I said, if they beat Louisville, throw all predictions out the window. Just we'll be along for the ride and see what happens. Where do you think Virginia finishes up this season?
This is I don't want to be the one who like sets expectations too high and then, because to your point, if they go 8-4 and basically effectively double what they had been winning, and if they beat Virginia Tech at the end of the year, that should be like go down as a great Virginia season that everybody enjoys. When you win back-to-back games in overtime, that tells me you're good enough to win back-to-back. Like that's a good thing, but it's also a little bit of like you can only play with fire so many times before some of the, it's an oblong ball that bounces weird ways and it bounces the wrong way sometimes. So I do think that at some point, despite a schedule that is very manageable, something's going to come up and bite Virginia at some point. But I think, finishing year 9-3 is certainly reasonable. 10-2 is not out of the question. If that loss is a decent loss, let's say it's against Duke and Duke ends up in the top 25, like that's not so bad. And I'm looking at like some of the other schedules, like Duke's got some tough games, Georgia Tech's got some tough games. Like we'll see who ends up in like it almost wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Virginia if they could get to like 10-2 but not play in the ACC championship game. That almost might be a better way into a playoff berth than making the ACC championship game and losing it to Miami. Because I do think, despite the fact that Mario Cristobal wants so desperately to blow a fourth quarter lead somewhere along the way, Miami looks the part. That looks like a
They
team that would
do.
go out and win the SEC. They're a really good football team. So avoiding Miami would not be the worst thing that ever happened. Which is, again, I mean, that's a little bit of what Indiana's strategy was last year, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the wild part about all this is that Georgia Tech, Virginia, and Miami don't play each other. Like, that's just the new ACC scheduling. I mean, it's only going to get a little bit better, you know, now with the 9 games and everything, but
Now we'll rewrite that schedule 10 more times too. Don't worry about it.
yeah, it's I yeah, the future schedules, I roll my eyes out because who knows what it's going to be by the time we get there, even non-conference games. But David, appreciate it. Where are you heading this week? What you got coming up?
I am heading to my couch this week. Couldn't be more excited about
There you
it.
go.
I've
Good
put some
home
miles
game.
on my car the last few weeks, so excited to watch some games that I'm not the best of ACC slates, but we will certainly be talking about Virginia on Inside Access this week, Thursday, 5 p.m. on ACC Network. Or, and I ask this very with every fiber of my being because I don't get paid for this. I want to bring information to the listeners. You can sign up and subscribe as a podcast now too.
Yeah.
So wherever your favorite podcast is. Just search Inside Access. I think there's three other Inside Accesses that are just porn, and then there's us. So go all the way down to that one.
Yeah, first year is a podcast. I've been listening along the way. Love what you and Andrea do there and everything at ESPN. But thanks again, David. Appreciate you coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for the Who's On podcast this week. Appreciate you listening here on this bye week. We will be back later in the week at ACC tip-off down in Charlotte. Yeah, we're going to look a little bit at the upcoming ACC basketball season. So you can tune in there. Find this on the Who's On podcast YouTube channel as well as on Apple, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. As always, leave a 5-star review or comment and subscribe. Appreciate it as always. We'll see you later in the week.